This is tape one, side B. I'm with Toshio Sukiyama. Did I say that?
Yep.
Right? Good. And today is October 24th, 2003. What is your full name?
My full name is Toshio Sukiyama. And of course, in Japanese, it pronounces a little differently, but that's how it goes in English.
Right. Okay, and where were you born and when?
I was born in Chiba Prefecture, which is right next to Tokyo, in October 15th, 1962.
So you recently had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. 41. People say I don't look like it.
You don't.
I still get caught it when I bear beer occasionally.
Right. So tell us a little bit about Chiba. I mean, where is it located, and then what is sort of the local economy?
So Chiba is basically, especially the area I was raised, it's basically a big satellite city for Tokyo. A lot of people go commute to Tokyo because in Japan it's so expensive to buy houses, especially around Tokyo area. People tend to commute more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And even though it takes easily an hour or two to go to Tokyo, a lot of people live there to commute. And my father was one of them. Even though he was not going to Tokyo, on the way, maybe halfway to Tokyo. And local economy, I think it's a newly created town. So right around the time we moved to the town, when I was 5 or 6 years old, basically that town was created. So it was a very strange situation that almost all the neighbors had kids of about similar age. So I knew all the kids around my place, and almost all the families had children of my and my sister's age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically bed town. I don't know if this is English expression, but people come back to that place to sleep.
Oh, bedroom.
That was it.
Oh, okay. And did you spend then most of your childhood and your sort of adolescence there in Chiba?
Yes, so I moved to I was born in Chiba and moved, I don't know, a few miles to that new town when I was 5, and I was there until I finished my high school. So I left that town when I was 18.
Right.
So I basically grew up there.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about your family. If you could maybe start with your maternal grandparents.
So my maternal grandfather was a teacher in a school that's almost like junior college in this country.
Mm-hmm.
He was specialized in, I actually don't know, engineering, I think. And so he was sort of semi-academic person, more into teaching than research, I believe. And maternal grandmother was staying at house, I think, and just supporting my grandfather. And they had 5 children. My mother is the second child. The oldest is only son they had. He was a professor in physics in Japan. And then my mother. And my mother's next sister is a housewife. Then the second youngest one is a professor or lecturer, I don't know, right now. Maybe assistant professor in chemistry. But she's doing more teaching than research, I believe. And the youngest one died of a heart attack recently, but she was into pottery. So it's a little untypical family, I'd say.
Right.
So I had a little bit of exposure to sort of academic setting from that side.
Right. And are they both still alive, those grandparents?
My grandfather died a while ago. My grand mother is still alive, doing well, living alone. She's 90-something years old. Mm-hmm. And next March, I'll be visiting Japan, so I'll see her.
Oh, good. And how about on the on your father's side, the grandparents?
On my father's side, both have died already, but my grandfather, paternal grandfather, he was already in bed when as far as I remember, he's been in bed for a long time because he had tuberculosis very early. So I actually don't know what he was doing. I'm sure I heard that from my father, but I don't remember the detail. My paternal grandmother was raised in a family that has been a doctor, a medical doctor for a long time, for generations, basically. And she tried to convince my father and his siblings to be a medical doctor, but my father didn't want to see blood, so he refused. So that tradition is gone, basically. And I didn't have a lot of interaction with either of them, but so in terms of academic connection, not much was there. Mm-hmm. And my father was the youngest kid of three, and the oldest sibling is a brother, I think, and he's he was working in for a company. I actually don't know the detail of his job. And his older sister was married to another typical Japanese business person. Nobody in the line is in academia, right. I think.
So of the two grandparents, you saw your mother's parents much more than...
Right, because my father was just like typical Japanese male. He was a workaholic. So in summer, if we had to go to see our grandparents, they were actually living very close. But usually it's mother who took us to the place. So naturally, we would stay like a day or two with my paternal side, then like week or two with maternal side. So I was more familiar with maternal parents, grandparents then.
And what did you tend to do during these visits, especially the week?
I don't remember details. Well, actually, there were bookstores, rental bookstores, right next, close to my grandparents' place. So we used to go there all the time, rented comics, books. We also did a lot of fishing. My sister was a real tomboy. She was very, very active. So we did all sorts of things that boys would do together, fishing, swimming, and I don't remember. Uh-huh. It was real fun. That's all I remember.
Well, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Now, is your sister older than you or younger?
Yes, 2 years older than I am.
Okay. We'll get to her. We'll talk a little bit about her as well, hopefully. Let's go back to your father, though, and talk a little bit about him. Talk a little bit maybe about his work and his character, too, his temperament, I guess.
Sure. So his job, so this is very typical, I think, Japanese tradition, but the job and private life are completely separate. So people don't talk about their family at work much at all. On the other hand, once they come home, they don't talk about their job at all. So I actually don't know exactly what my father was doing, but I know his company was specialized in building chemical plants. So they export those plants. So my father used to go abroad very often. I think he's been to like 50 different countries or something. So he'd go to East Germany or China, India, Russia, Iran. And I think his job description changed quite a bit. He used to be sort of engineering side. Then he got promoted. At the end, he was one of the executives for the company, so he was doing negotiation with the government of foreign countries that their clients, basically, and something like that. Basically, they would build plants for fertilizers or something like that. So very often he was absent from our place for more than half a year.
Right.
The longest was with India, China, so on and so forth.
Right.
And character-wise, so this is also not that uncommon in Japan, I don't think. But I didn't get along with my father that well originally, partly probably because I didn't get to see him that much. But also, it's not that he doesn't care about kids, but I think he thought it's mother's job to take care of kids for everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
We did, you know, do baseball together and kind of thing. But I think I had a lot more distance between myself and to my father than with my mother. And as I said, it's not that uncommon in Japan. And in Japan, the relationships between parents and children are probably a lot more formal than in this country.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that surprised me when I came here is that grown-up adults call their parents mom and dad, which sounded very strange to me because something like that is not common in Japan.
Right.
It's a little bit more formal.
Right. Is there an equivalent in English or in American for how they children would address parents in Japan?
The
father and mother, or?
Yes. Otosan, okasan would be father and mother. And there are people who call their parents papa and mama because English words are very common in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call our parents in that way. And one day I and my sister decided this is too childish and decided not to use those words. I don't remember when I was. Maybe I was 5 or 6.
Really?
At the time.
It sounds like you were very close to your sister.
Yes, we were very, very close. Actually, the reason why I became a scientist is probably mainly due to her, because she was always ahead of me. She's a scientist, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she graduated the vet school, and I also graduated the vet school. It's a different school, though. So I was influenced a lot.
Okay. All right, we'll talk more about that. Mm-hmm. Your father, you didn't meet him very often when you were growing up. When you did meet, did you do any activities together? Did he have hobbies
yes.
that you shared with him?
We would play baseball. We would go to batting cages or play catchball. Because my father loves baseball. And when I grew up... Oh, one thing that might be funny is my father likes drinking a lot. And in Japan, drinking is a lot less strictly regulated than in this country. For example, when I was 5 or 6, I used to go to liquor shop and buy sake for my father. Nobody cares about it.
Right.
You can even buy those things from vending machines. And so when I was, 3 or 4 probably, my father started to train me in drinking.
Right.
Because he wanted me to be able to drink with him as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in junior high or high school, I was allowed to drink with my father during dinner, sake and beer. And I remember one day I was preparing for university entrance exam, which is a real big deal in Japan. A lot of people think that's the biggest goal of their life, mm-hmm. at least in their lives. And I was studying, and in Japan, parents would not do anything to disturb their kids when they're studying because it's such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And my father came back wanting to drink with me. I said, I'm studying. My mother stepped in and said, oh, it's just a few drinks. Just have it. I'm like, oh, what a parents I have. But so that was his hobby, I think, to drink with me.
Huh.
And when he come home with his colleagues, usually they have drinking, or they're already drunk usually, but he almost always invited me to join there, sort of showed off me drinking, because I was able to drink quite a bit
right.
when I was in high school. So that was definitely something he enjoyed, and mm-hmm. I liked that too. And even though I was mentally a little bit far from my father, as I grew up more, I think I got closer to him,
mm-hmm.
because I I guess I'm in a similar situation. I understand more why he didn't have time to spend, to be with us, or I don't know. And also, I started to appreciate that he has interesting personality, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hmm. Okay. I'm wondering about drinking in Japanese culture. Mm. I mean, is it a part of the culture of the
Japanese?
Yes,
I think so. It's okay. A very, very big part of it. And there are a few big differences, I think, between this country and Japan. One is that it's publicly accepted to get drunk. And if you go to Japan in party seasons, end of the year or something like that, in train stations, you see the company executives completely drunk and sleeping on floor and things like that, and people really don't care about it.
Right.
The other thing is people take pride in drinking. So if you're able to drink, much more than the guy next to you, you feel superior. Right. I know it's childish, but it's very strong.
Right.
I heard it's changing a little bit. But when I was in, say, college, if you asked to go for a drink from your friends or something like that, it was you are supposed to go. And if you're asked to drink up your glass, you're not supposed to refuse.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Now I heard that younger generations are changing, that people tend to say, oh, I have family waiting for me, I'm not going to go for drink, something like that.
Right.
I actually don't know how true that is, but I definitely have the culture.
Right. how about where you drink? I mean, is it acceptable to drink? I mean, where does this mostly take place, in the home or outside of the home or both?
Until I became drinking age, I was told my parents don't drink outside.
Yeah.
Because I would be in trouble, not because they didn't want me to drink more, just so that I won't get caught. So until I graduated high school, I didn't drink outside much, even though I did drink with my friends occasionally. And even though drinking age is 20 in Japan, it's socially accepted. As soon as you get into the college, which is usually 18, you can start drinking.
Right. Is the custom apply also to women?
Yes. Mm. And my college was one of the worst drinking schools in Japan.
So really? Well, then you picked the right college.
Yeah. That was not the reason why I get there, but it was good much.
Right. Sort of the Santa Barbara of,
yeah.
of Japan. When people hear this, I'm sorry. I apologize for slandering Santa Barbara. Let's talk about your mom.
Uh-huh.
Again, maybe talk about her education and her work.
Okay. So she was staying home. She was a housewife when I was growing up. But for women of her age in Japan, it was not very common to work outside. It's a social thing, and I don't think it's reasonable. But it was partly a matter of pride for men, I think. The fact that their wives are working outside used to imply, that they're not, the men are not bringing enough income to home.
Hmm.
So that was a trend, I think. Even in my generation, it's not true anymore, so I actually don't know the detail. But my mother was a little exceptional, so she went to junior college and got a license to teach in elementary school equivalent, I think. And she was teaching for a few years before getting married to my father, then quit her job, I think. At the time, getting married was almost equal to quitting job.
Right.
All the women were supposed to stay home after getting married. But one thing was really clear. So she was the second oldest in the family. And at the time, I think that her family was not that rich. So I think she was forced not to go to full university. That's why she graduated the junior college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear that she didn't like that. And I don't think she complained about it or anything, but it was very obvious to both of us. So I could feel that she strongly hoped that we can get as much education as we can get because right. of her experience. And then they got married and had both myself and my sister. Then when I was in, I don't remember, junior high, I think, she started teaching again, not in formal schools, but in Japan. Actually, I don't know how it's called in this country. So after kids come back from schools, they very often go to private schools for an hour or two, a couple of times a week. They're usually specialized in something like math or English or something like that mm-hmm. to get extra education so that they do well in school. And she was one of those. I think the formal reason why she started that was because my sister was struggling with math. And as I get more and more advanced, it got harder for my mother to teach her, my sister, the math. So she wanted to be able to get training, I think, to how to teach my sister
right.
The math. That's how she started this. But part of that was probably because she used to be a teacher and she missed something. I don't know the detail, actually. So she was doing that for about 10 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see she enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah, so I don't know how much influence I got from her in terms of decision to be a scientist, but maybe part of that was coming from my mother because right. she was strongly, it's very clear that she was looking at education or educated people.
Right. And was that because she was saying that or was it, I mean, how did she convey that to you, I guess, when you're young?
I don't remember any single incident, but I think the way she talked about her brother, who was a professor in physics, or about education in general, I think, sent us message.
Yeah.
Even though when we grew up, I and my sister grew up, it was, like, pretty common to go to college, so it was almost, like, expected. I think, like, 70 to 80% of people go to college in Japan, so...
That's 5%.
Yeah, it's very high.
Yeah.
So.
And how about your mother's temperament? How would you describe her as a person?
She's very gentle. And even though I was a very bad kid, so you know, I made her upset very, very often.
Mm-hmm.
But when, for example, every semester I have to have meeting with teachers at schools, and almost every time they commented how gentle and nice my mother was and things like that, and that was a pretty common thing. And she's very liberal, I think,
mm-hmm.
Politically and also socially, and that was probably the tradition of her family. Mm-hmm. I could tell very clearly that my paternal and maternal family is very different mm-hmm. In terms of how liberal they are,
right.
Especially socially.
And so by liberal, you mean more interested in political parties that want to change or push
forward? So in Japan, the society is very conservative, and also it's a little hard to describe, but it's very clear, depending on your social status, what you're supposed to do. So you get pressure if you're a student or if you're a professor, you're supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. Or because you graduated this school, you're supposed to go to this kind of company, even that kind of, like, really, there are a lot of unwritten rules that mm-hmm. society expects you to do. And if you're out of that, you're considered as a dropout. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's how it is like. So that's why people spend so much
time and effort to try to go to the best college possible, because that sort of sets up the path for the rest of their lives. But my grandparents, maternal grandparents, are quite not that strict on those things. That's what I meant by liberal. Right. For example, my youngest aunt, who died of a heart attack, she didn't have a real job. She was doing pottery, and which is not that common in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so two youngest aunt are not married, which is also not that common. And usually when a woman hits like an age 22 to 26 or something, they usually get tremendous pressure from their parents to get married, because it's shame, supposed to be shame for their parents that their daughter is not married, I think. It's a social thing, which I don't think makes any sense. But anyway, but I don't think they got any kind of pressure like that. Hmm. So in that sense, it's very, very liberal. People can live in the way they want it.
Right.
That was pretty clear. And the reason why my mother was couldn't go to the college, I forgot to tell you, was because, not because of her parents, but her grandparents, who were alive at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were very strict. So they were grandparents from me. But then they died, and then I think the family got a lot more relaxed.
Right. Hmm.
So my mother had that kind of tradition pretty strongly, I think.
Yeah.
Very liberal.
And I'll ask the same question I asked about your dad. Did she have hobbies? Did she have interests?
When I was a kid, I don't think she was doing anything on a regular basis. Maybe she was too busy. And if you ask me, maybe that teaching was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably only the extra thing that she was doing other than normal household stuff. Now, after both I and my sister left the house, she's been doing horseback riding quite a bit, which is a very unusual hobby for Japanese. I don't know why she chose that as her hobby, but she goes to does horseback riding a couple of times a week, even now, I think.
And how often do you see her? How often do you go back?
Last time I went back to Japan was 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a very good son. I go back to Japan only when I'm invited to a meeting or something, when I have reason to go back home, partly because I don't want to leave my lab. Especially after I moved to West Coast, it got obviously very close to Japan. So, and my father retired from his job, so they visit me once a year at least in summer, probably to see Mariners game.
That's a big
thing
fans.
For my father. So,
Mariners had a good season until the very end, didn't they?
Yeah, 2 years in a row, they didn't make it in the playoffs, but. That's okay. We always have next year.
Right. Okay. You mentioned... I want to ask another question about the family. Was it a family that met at prescribed times, had meals together? I mean, I guess, what was the general feeling of the family?
So, it was... I think it was clear that my mother wished we could eat together all the time. But it was not practical, because my father was commuting for such a long distance, and he stayed late. I'm sure a lot of that was basically drinking with his colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
So he often didn't come back until 10 or something like that. So almost always, except for weekends, I and my sister had dinner together, and my mother would eat a little bit just to be with us, I guess. Then she'd clean up, we helped. Then she'd wait for my father to come back. Then they eat together again.
Right.
That was for dinner. For breakfast, I think my father left home earlier than we did. So he would, I think they had breakfast together, and I and my sister would eat together again. And so we didn't eat together much at all.
Right.
Then because of that, probably on weekends, my mother insisted we have to eat together. So that was about it. And it was pretty typical, I think, mm-hmm. in Japan now, especially because it's so difficult to live close to their workplace. Fathers tend to eat alone or with their wives.
Right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your sister, and then we'll get to you. Mm-hmm. We've already mentioned that it was partly her example that made you interested, interested in science.
Right.
Right, and to go to a veterinary school. Talk about her a little bit. What were her interests? And talk about the relationship that you had growing up with her.
Right. So, as I said, we were pretty close. And until you're like 10 years old, actually girls, you know, develop are faster than boys. So on the top of that, she was 2 years older than I was. So she was the one to protect me mm-hmm. when I was a kid. And she was pretty strong. For example, she could throw, when we play catch ball, she could throw harder than I was. And she was like number three hitter and a pitcher in a softball team or something. Mm-hmm. So she was very athletic. And so I basically grew up looking up her. And I was kind of a kid who would like come home crying every other day. I was not very strong or anything. And so that's how I grew up. Then in school, she was doing quite well. And then and we grew up reading a lot of books about animals. We both loved animals. Mm-hmm. So getting a dog was a huge deal for us. We constantly talked to our parents for, I don't know, maybe 5 years. Until we finally convinced them to have a dog.
That's a long lobby.
Yeah, so we worked really hard. And one day I remember my sister had a family gathering with another family the father of the family was my father's colleague. So we were pretty close. So we had sleepovers and things like that very often. And one day we had this kind of party, and we wanted to convince our parents to buy a dog. So I and my sister decided to hide somewhere and wrote a letter, threatening letter, which we thought, saying that, you know, we abducted your kids. If you want your kids, buy a dog. obviously, that's kids' idea.
Right.
And we left the message and hid somewhere. And a few hours later, we came back, and my friends said, okay, if you want the dog so much, we'll buy one.
Right.
That was when we were in, I don't remember, 10th grade or something like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot of things together. And, of course, when we went to junior high, we went to separate high schools, so then we also got busy on our own stuffs. But until then, we were pretty close. And then when she was in high school, she decided she wants to be a vet because she likes dogs so much. And there are not so many vet schools in Japan. So, and there's an island in Japan that's the most northern part of Japan. It's called Hokkaido.
Mm-hmm.
And Hokkaido has this special image for a lot of Japanese that it's developed only like 100 years ago. So it's a very new place, frontier, if you will. And maybe something similar to the image people have on Alaska mm-hmm. here, probably. That it's very different. And as I said, Japanese society has a lot of different restrictions. But those restrictions tend to be lighter in Hokkaido because people haven't been living there for a long time.
Right.
And because they have to live really a difficult life, it's a very cold place. People more open-minded. Anyway, that was the image. So I think that was big attraction for her. So to, and the other thing is to be away from parents, of course. So then she went to vet school there in Hokkaido. And then 2 years later, I also wanted to be a vet. But I did not want to go to the same school, so I went to another vet school in Hokkaido, which was 5 hours away, probably, by driving from her school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being a vet was one thing, and I'm pretty sure I was strongly influenced by her decision. I also wanted to be a vet, seeing how much she enjoys her school when I was in high school. And in Japan, you go to vet school straight from high school, so it's not like this country. So you apply to vet school when you're 18, and then if you accept that, you're in vet school right away. So when I was preparing for exam, she already had started taking like anatomy and physiology and so on and so forth. And I, you know, hear those stories all the time, and also interesting college life she had. So that I'm pretty sure that was a big reason why I went to vet school. Then I wanted to be a vet, of course, when I went to vet school. How I changed to basic research is also very strongly influenced by my sister, because she, I never asked her why she decided to study, to go to basic research. But anyway, her school was stronger in basic research, actually, than for animal practice. Maybe that's part of it. And she started working on microbiology. So at the time, I was already in the vet school. And then one day, I and my friends visited her, and I saw her working in the lab doing microbiology experiment. And it was pretty impressive. I still remember that visit, because I never saw my sister being that happy work doing experiments. And also a lot of people are excited about their research, and we went out for drink together, and I think that was probably one big reason why I wanted to do basic research. And of course, my background, that I was exposed to my uncle and aunt who are also in academia, I'm pretty sure affected me. But probably the biggest influence came from my sister.
And until that time, had you been into a laboratory at all?
I don't think so. I have been to my aunt's chemical laboratory, but as I said, she was doing more teaching than really research. So, and I've been there maybe a couple of times.
Right.
So I don't think I ever saw real laboratory until I visited my sister.
Right.
And my uncle was a theoretical physicist, so I don't think he had a real lab set up.
Right.
He used to tease me that biology is for dumb people.
That's inspirational. And what does your sister do now? What is her research?
She's doing research of, she's still working on viruses, and I think she's mainly interested in translational control of viral genes. And she's in Japan, in Tokyo University, sort of like assistant professor job right now. And her husband is in a separate institute doing or studying hepatitis C virus. So both of us ended up with being basic research scientists. So my parents had to take their dog to another vet. So they used to claim that that was a failed investment because we were useless as veterinarians.
All that money and education.
Right.
Now, I have to ask this question because I am a pet lover. What was the name of this dog that you finally got?
Oh, that was called Muku. That was the name of the dog. So it's a Japanese dog.
Right.
In Japan, it's called Hokkaido dog. But I don't know if this is an internationally recognized name. Because there are only a few Japanese dog names that's internationally recognized, like Shiba, Akita, and I don't remember. But this is sort of bled in Japan for a long time, and it's from Hokkaido, and people used to use this kind of dog for bear hunting.
Right.
So it's, it gets big, and actually, retrospectively, it was not a good decision to buy that kind of dog at the time, because we were still very small. And this is the kind of dog that decides that only one person as a master for a family.
Hmm.
So obviously he chose my father as a master. So he didn't listen to us very well.
Right.
And I grew up, I finally became able to control my dog a little bit. But that's not a good dog for a family like that, I think.
Right.
But that was a really lovely dog.
Uh-huh. All right, let's talk. Oh, you read books. You were talking about how your sister and you read a lot of books. What kind of books did you read?
We read all kinds of books. A lot of that was essay. So there was our favorite writer who was not a vet, but who wanted to live like a vet and wanted to be around animals. So this guy ended up with opening a very big ranch, I think, in Hokkaido that had a lot of different animals, tens of dogs, tens of cats, tens of horses, and he even had a bear and he lived with this bear for a while. He's like a very strange person, but so a lot of young people who looked up his kind of lifestyle used to go there and live together, and he wrote a lot about his life, his life with animals,
mm-hmm.
in essay style. So we read his books a lot. And I bet that was part of the reason why my sister wanted to go to Hokkaido, because this writer was in Hokkaido also.
Hmm.
And I don't remember. I read a lot of books. I'm still like this, but I always have to be reading something when I'm in bed or something. So I read anything. But then when I was... that's right. I used to read a lot. Then when I got into junior high school, I got into bicycling. Then I started reading a lot about bicycles, and other reading went down quite a bit. And then when I got to college, I started reading about cars, because I got into car automobiles, and so then reading went down a little bit. But throughout my life, I have been reading a lot, and I read basically anything. Mm-hmm. Now I like reading histories, reading about histories, but that's a recent trend, I think.
All right. What was the last book that you read, or what is the book you're reading now?
2 days ago, I bought a book. It's a mystery. There's a favorite writer that I discovered recently. That's this thick, which I shouldn't have started reading, and mm-hmm. I couldn't stop reading. And I was really sleepy yesterday because of that. It's a light mystery, just easy to read, nothing special. I also like reading about food.
Right.
I have a lot of books about food. Uh-huh. I especially like old people who have their strong opinions about how things should be done.
Right.
So for those, I actually don't necessarily care about what's written, but I'm more probably enjoying the style or the claim they're making.
Right.
Rather than how to cook things.
Right.
Yeah.
So sort of Julia Child then would be...
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
A master.
Yeah, I've seen her a few times on TV. Uh-huh.
All right. How would you describe yourself? I mean, I'm getting sort of a general picture, pieces of a picture. How would you describe yourself as a child and sort of young adolescent?
Okay. So of course I cannot be very I cannot help being opinionated,
right?
But so let's say, as I said, when I was a kid, I was not one of those strong kids. I was not a leader.
If I could interrupt you, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're near the end.